Let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. As you find your place there, please stand out and respect the Word of God. We're going to begin with verse number 25. Now, as we read in Ephesians chapter 5, we are confronted with the relationship between the husband and the wife. And we often, as we read this passage of Scripture, we see that as being primary. And yet it's only secondary. God is using the husband and wife relationship to illustrate something else. And it's that something else that is the focus of Ephesians chapter 5, at least in this last portion of it, the second half. What God is trying to teach us is how much He loves us and how much He loves the church. And so as we read these verses, we're going to start out talking about the husbands loving their wives, but it what comes after that that I want you to pay attention to. So verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Father, we thank You for this passage of Scripture, and Lord, we confess our need of Your Holy Spirit at this time as we look into Your Word. We know these things are spiritually discerned. And Father, our human minds and logic could figure a few things out, but Lord, we want to have some help spiritually. And so we confess our need of Your Holy Spirit's assistance and ask that You'd provide that, that You might be glorified through all that's said and done this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated. We're in the second message of a series on the local church. And as we read the word church there in Ephesians chapter 5, keep in mind that I believe, just as sure as I'm standing here, that he's talking about a local church. He's talking about the church there in Ephesus. Now, when it says that in verse 25, Christ also loved the church, he's also talking about the church that was in Colossae. He was talking about the churches that were in Galatia. You see, he loved all the churches because the churches are made up of the children. But when he says he loved the church, I believe he's talking about it in a local situation here, and he wants each church to be presented to himself as a glorious church, and he wants each church to not have spot, and he wants each church to not have wrinkle, and he wants each church to not have any such thing, and he wants that each church should be holy and without blemish. We can't make an excuse and say that these don't apply to us because it applies to someone somewhere else. But this passage isn't necessarily the message, because today's point is the importance of the church. Last week we discussed what is the church, and so I'm not going to rediscuss any of that because we've got enough to keep us busy today. Why is the church important? I think today in our society, in our culture, not just in the world, because when the world looks at the church, they think we're just another agency of the government. And that our responsibility is to help anyone in financial need. They think that's what we're supposed to do. They think we're obligated to do that. And nothing could be further from the truth. Because number one, we are completely separate from the government. And our founders of our nation understood that and wrote that into the Constitution. And the separation clause that so many quote today, we know, is not at all what was intended, nor is it even in the Constitution, the separation of church and state. The whole concept of what they believed was that the government had no business interfering in the business of a local church or even of a denominational church. They had no business interfering. That's what it's all about. But that's not our point. But the point is that the world looks at the church as being an agency of the government, just another benevolent agency of the government to help anyone in need. That's what the world thinks. But what about Christians today? So often when we think of the church, we think, well, I can take it or leave it. It's not all that important in my life. And that's the mindset that if you have this morning, that I want to change through the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God. And if you're here this morning and you don't realize just how important this organization is, not so much the building. I mean, this building could burn down today and we'd still go on as Calvary Baptist Church of Bucyrus, Ohio. If you're in the average mindset of an independent Baptist, we understand that church is relevant. We understand that it is important in our life and in the life of our culture. But we don't understand the importance of the local church that God has placed upon it. And we don't understand the place it has in our lives as individual Christians and the important place it has if we're ever going to be what God wants us to be as a believer in Christ. And so this morning, I would hope before we're done that you'll appreciate anew this organization that God, as it says here, gave himself for, the local church. Now, the first thing I want to consider is found in, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I touched on this last week. I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but I do want to show you the scripture. And to me, this is something just very, very important in a Christian's life. Because church membership is something that is viewed on as just, if I have it, I have it. If I don't, oh well. Because in our non-committal society in which we live, becoming a member of a local independent Baptist church is not seen as all that important. It's again that I can take it or leave it. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, God is discussing with the church there at Corinth the problem they had. The book of Corinthians is God discussing a lot of the problems of the church at Corinth. But in chapter 5, the specific problem is a sin from one of the church members that not even the people that were lost were committing. And the problem with this is that all the city knew that this man was committing the sin, and they knew that this man was a member of the church at Corinth. And so it was tarnishing the glory of God, it was tarnishing the image of that local church, and it was tarnishing the image of every Christian that was a member of that church because they were looking with approval on this sin. And so God wants to set the record straight and says, you guys need to do something about this. And so church discipline, which again, we talked about that last week under the authority of the local church. But we looked at the fact that Corinth had to do something about this. They had to excommunicate, is the word we use today, just a fancy word to mean that they kick them out of the church membership. Now, what does that mean? It means they're no longer a member. They no longer can vote. It doesn't mean they can't attend the church services. But it does mean they can't serve in any of the ministries of the church. But it means much more than that. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 4. I want to read verses 4 and 5. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, in other words, at a church called business meeting, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, in other words, with his authority, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. And so what God is telling the Corinthian church here through the Apostle Paul says, look, you've got a guy that's in sin, and you need to deal with the sin as a church family because this man is unrepentant. He won't change his ways unless you do something. And so they were to call a church meeting. They were to not get into all the gory details. It's never about that. The whole point of church discipline is to restore that believer into a right relationship with Christ. But he says, you've got to deliver this one to Satan. That's what it means, or what it says when it means to kick him out of the church. In other words, let Satan have his way with him. Now, that tells me that if you are a member of a local independent Baptist church, that God has put a hedge of protection about you. And Satan can't break through. Think of Job. When Satan appeared before the sons of God, and God says, breaking on Job, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan, I can just picture him, and every time I get to this, I can picture Satan sneering and spitting out, you've got a hedge of protection about him. This is exactly what the Bible says he says. But Satan whining and complaining says, you won't let me at him. I'd have at him if I could, but you won't let me. But if you'd let me, man, that guy will fall. He's as fake as a $3 bill. God says, go ahead. God dropped the hedge a little ways. He didn't drop it all. He still had some protection. He put some limitations on the devil. But you see, I believe God does that for anyone who's a member of a local independent Baptist church. We've got a hedge about us. We can't see it. I can't feel it. But it's there. Doesn't make it any less real. Just like the devil is there and his minions are there, the angels of God are there. We can't see any of them. It's very rare when we perceive their interaction in our life, at least the good angels. The devil and his minions, man, we feel their temptations all the time and all the trouble they stir up in our lives. We can't see them, hear them, touch them, feel them. Nevertheless, it doesn't mean they're not there. And the same thing holds true with this hedge. God has a hedge about those that are a member of a local independent church. We're talking about the importance of a church. And we find that joining is an act of protection. An act of protection as we become a part of God's church. God protects us. All right, let's turn to another verse. Let's look over at Hebrews chapter 10. This is another one that we looked at a little bit last week, and so I'm not going to spend a lot of time here either. But nevertheless, this is important. We're talking about the importance of a church. Why is Calvary Baptist Church important? What is it about this organization that God in heaven looks down and says, this is important to you as a Christian, as an individual? Well, first is because joining it is an act of protection from God for the individual Christian. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25. And let us consider one another to provoke. I'm in verse 24. It's a good verse, so I'll keep reading it. Provoke unto love and good to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The church is important because attendance is an act of obedience. In other words, not attending church is an act of disobedience. Now, I understand that not everyone can be in every service all the time. I understand health issues. We've got those that are out sick today. They're what we call providentially hindered, unable to be here. There are people whose job interferes with church. And so they're unable to be here because of employment. And so they're not able to be here, but they're here when they can. There are those that can't drive after it gets dark. Some of you are scratching your head saying, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. Wait till you grow up. You say, well, I'm already an adult, not old enough yet. In my mind, I'm still a teenager, but in my body, I'm not. I'll just put it there and stop. But I'm finding out driving at night's not as easy as it used to be. I used to be able to get up in the morning and drive till the middle of the next day. Well, I can't make it much after dark anymore. Because your eyes, I understand these things, and God does too. He created you. But what God is telling us here about forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, He's commanding us to be here when we can. When there's nothing that gets in the way. And needing a longer nap is not a valid excuse. Needing to sleep in a long is not a valid excuse. My favorite television program is not a valid excuse. Health issues and employment are valid excuses. But not that. Not that. Having to stay home and take care of family is a valid excuse. But not much else. If we want to be what God wants us to be, if we want to experience God's full blessing in our life, it's only going to come to those that are obedient. Now, God commanded us to be in a church, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, but to be in church when the doors are open. And if there's no church to go to, then we cannot be obedient to God. And so the local church is important because it helps you walk in the will of God, helps you walk in obedience to our Savior, and then allows you to experience the blessings that come from obedience. And so the importance of the church, because joining is an act of protection, importance of the church is seen in that attendance is an act of obedience. And then thirdly, back in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. The church is important because serving God is an act of maturity. Now you say, well, what does serving God have to do with the local church? I'm glad you asked. And I'm glad you're in Ephesians chapter 4 because God will tell you. It's beginning in verse number 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, we understand verse number 11 is talking about spiritual gifts. We're not going to take the time, but we could turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We have another and longer list of spiritual gifts. We could turn to Romans chapter 12, and we have another list of spiritual gifts. Now, they don't all include the exact same gifts, and you find that some gifts are named one thing in 1 Corinthians and they're named something else in the book of Romans. What I gather from this is that the list, and we have collated it all and determined how many gifts we have in the Word of God. But I believe that those are not the only spiritual gifts that God gives to individuals. Now, God doesn't give spiritual gifts to the church. He gives born-again believers a spiritual gift. And maybe we should turn to chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, but we're not going to for sake of time. But God is very clear that if you are saved, you have at least one spiritual gift. At least one. And my guess, in a congregation our size, you probably have more than one. Now, let's back up just a little bit. What is a spiritual gift? A spiritual gift is an ability that God gives you through the Holy Spirit of God to serve Him. Sometimes those abilities are natural abilities. Let's just take teaching. Some people are born teachers. Now, just because someone is a born teacher does not mean they have the spiritual gift of teaching. It just doesn't work that way. If it's a spiritual gift of teaching, they're going to be able to teach God's Word, such as a Sunday school class, and God will use them to help people spiritually through that lesson. That then, a natural talent becomes a spiritual ability, a spiritual gift. But sometimes a spiritual gift is something that is not a natural ability. There's a lady by the name of Deanne Castor, lives in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Her husband was one of the two men instrumental in leading me to Christ. He introduced me to the evangelist who then shared the gospel. Deanne Castor's testimony is that before she got saved, she couldn't sing a lick. But almost immediately after she got saved, all of a sudden she can sing as beautiful as anybody. She has a tremendous singing voice. It was a spiritual gift. Something she didn't work on, something she didn't have before she got saved, but God gave her that gift to minister to the local church and to help the church. And that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 4 is all about, and where we tie spiritual gifts and your possession of at least one ties into the importance of the local church. So let's keep reading here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse number 11 lists the gifts. Verse number 12 tells why they were given. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, we have three commas to separate three thoughts. And oftentimes we list those commas as number 1, 2, and 3. But it doesn't work that way. This is one progression of thought. And so the spiritual gifts are given for the perfecting of the saints. When it says perfecting, it doesn't mean that you'll be perfect and without sin. The word perfecting means mature. It means you'll grow spiritually. You won't be a spiritual baby any longer. That's what the word perfecting is. All right? And so the spiritual gifts are so that the saints will grow spiritually, so that the saints will be equipped for the work of the ministry. That's what this verse is saying. You see, the pastor's supposed to be busy about the work of the ministry, but so are you. God has a place for you in Calvary Baptist Church. He has a ministry for you in Calvary Baptist Church, and He gave you a spiritual gift to equip you to fulfill that ministry. And the church then is important because it is the place where you exercise your spiritual gift. Now, all the spiritual gifts being used together for the glory of God in a local church setting will lead to the edifying or the building up, both spiritually and numerically, of the body of Christ, the local church. And so the church is important because you can't exercise, with God's blessing, your spiritual gifts apart from the local church. Now, you may think I'm crazy for saying things like that, but in my previous church, I knew numerous individuals who had no affiliation with the church, weren't even faithful in church, and I've mentioned this before, and yet they had their so-called Christian ministries, exercising their so-called spiritual gifts. Where's God's blessing in that? Because it doesn't mention that anywhere in the Word of God. You see, the spiritual gifts are to be exercised through the ministries of the local church to edify the local church. That's their purpose. That's their point. That's why God gave it to you. And if you will use your spiritual gift, it will display an act of spiritual maturity. Those people that are out, one of them was holding Bible studies, the other one was hosting a radio program. Not even faithful to church, either one of them. You know what they were telling me? They're still spiritual babies. Because that's what the Word of God says. They're still spiritual babies. If you're here this morning and you don't have a ministry in a local church, guess what? The Bible speaks for itself. Don't get mad at me for saying it. The Word of God is the one who said it. And it's always best when we see ourselves through the eyes of God so that we can properly evaluate ourselves. And so the church is important because joining is an act of protection, attendance is an act of obedience, serving is an act of maturity. And one other one I want to look at this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Why is the church important? Can we live without the church? We can live without the church, but as Christians, we need a local church. If we're ever to thrive spiritually, if we're ever to do what God has called us to do, if we're ever to fulfill the will of God, if we're ever to be obedient to God, we need a local church. And I'm not even really getting into what the church, how the church affects the society and the culture around us. I'll probably talk a little bit about that next week. But 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15, why else is the church important? But if I tarry long, 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Every young person hates this verse. Just stopping right there, because there is a way to behave properly and a way to misbehave in church. All right, but let's go on, because it's what comes next is what I want to see this morning, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar and ground of the truth. Now, last week I made a comment about parachurch ministries, and primarily about Bible colleges, but also mission boards. If they're not under the umbrella and the authority of a local church, they stray doctrinally every single time. Every time. And history is full of examples, such as Yale and Harvard, I believe are the two I used last week, Princeton being another one. You see, the local church, not the Bible college and seminary, the local church, not the mission agency, the local church, not the radio station, but it's the local church that's a pillar and ground of the truth. The church is important because defending it is an act of responsibility for every Christian. God has placed on us a responsibility to keep our church doctrinally pure and doctrinally right. God has given to us to keep things right in society. We know that the media doesn't give the Christians a break and has absolutely no concept or understanding of biblical Christianity. And so they label us as fanatics, and they label us as radicals, and they label us as fundamentalists. And certainly we are a fundamentalist because we believe in the fundamentalists, or the fundamentals of the Christian faith. Most of Christianity, or at least what's called Christianity, rejects the fundamentals of the faith. They're very simple. That Jesus is God, that He was virgin born, that He was lived a sinless life, that He died a vicarious death, in other words, a substitutionary death for you and for me, that He rose again bodily the third day, that this book is the very Word of God. These are the fundamentals of the faith, and if you deny any of them, you do not have Christianity. You do not have it. absolutely something different. All you have left is religion. A lot of churches that have church on their sign, or at least organizations that have church on their sign, do not believe these things. But it's our responsibility to safeguard these things and protect these things and to fight these things and defend these things, even with our lives. You say, well, these things just aren't that important to me. Well, if they're not that important to you, you do not understand the importance of the local church in your life and in the life of our society and our culture. And what you don't appreciate are the multitudes that have gone on in history behind us and laid our foundation, giving their lives for the things we hold dear. So many churches are so quick to throw Baptists off their name, never realizing that the only reason they have a right to exist is because of the Baptists and the formation of our country back in the 1700s. And that if it wasn't for the Baptists, we would have a state religion. And that you'd have an extra tax taken out of your paycheck every single payday to support the local, or to support the state church. Whether you have believed in that church, whether you ever attended that church, you would be paying the salaries of the preachers of those churches. You'd be paying for the new building. You'd be paying for their missionary endeavors. Because we would have a state church in the United States of America if it wasn't for the Baptists. So don't be so quick to turn your back on Baptists. I know when I first got saved and was ignorant, I said, well, I'm not a Baptist, I'm just a Bible-believing Christian. Don't say that. I'm a Bible-believing Christian for sure, but I'm a Baptist because when I say I'm a Baptist, it means I'm a Bible-believing Christian, and I'm not afraid to stand up for what the Bible teaches. If all you are is a Bible-believing Christian, then you are not saying I'm afraid to stand up for what's right. You are not saying that I will separate from anything that denies this book. Defending our church and defending the truths that we hold dear is your responsibility. You may not have realized it to be your responsibility, but it is. Given to us right here in the Word of God, it's every Christian's responsibility. Most, speaking as a whole, most have shirked the responsibility. And so our churches are worthless and powerless. And our country is spiraling downward into sin and depravity. It's because God's people did not recognize the importance of the church. Folks, how do you view your church? Does it have the place of primary importance in your life? Certainly God comes first, and your family comes second. But your church needs to be right up there, almost to that same level. Because God loved the church and gave Himself for it. And we've been entrusted with protecting it and attending it and joining it and enjoying God's protection as we're just simply obedient. Folks, won't you recognize the importance of this organization God created? Father, we thank You for Your Word. Bless us as we contemplate these thoughts. Father, if we need Christ as our Savior, we don't understand what it is to have the Holy Spirit. We don't understand what it is to know we're on our way to heaven. Father, if there be anyone in the room this morning, Father, I pray that You would convict them of their need of Christ. Help them to realize they're a sinner. Jesus died for those sins. And they can have eternal life just by putting their faith in You. Father, I pray for those that might be saved and have never been baptized, that have never joined a local independent Bible-believing church. Father, I pray that You would weigh in their hearts. Father, convict them of their need to do so as an act of obedience. And Father, if we've done all these things and still lack the recognition of how important Your church is, Father, by Your Holy Spirit, impress that upon us today. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.